In the years that rock and roll has been around, it's seen every kind of keyboard instrument from the piano to the MIDI-linked computer setup. In the fourth part of our series on the instruments in the classic rock and roll band, Ed Ward follows the keyboards from the Georgia Turpentine camps to the space age.
Next to the guitar, the piano holds pride of place as the essential rock and roll instrument. The reason for this is simple. A piano has always been a cheap way to set yourself up in business as a musical venue. Unlike a guitar, a piano wasn't something you could take from place to place, so a good one could make a piano player stick around for a while. Voila, instant entertainment. Blues musicians took to the piano, as had ragtime players before them. In the Turpentine camps of Georgia, the large building where the barrels were made was empty on weekends. A piano there made it the obvious place for a dance, and so-called barrel house piano was born. Robert Shaw, heard here, was one of the last exponents of this style. Then there was a more straightforward blues piano, epitomized by Big Maceo Merriweather, one of the first generation of Chicago bluesmen. If America has a piano town, though, it's New Orleans. There, a long tradition of piano professors in the bawdy houses gave birth to a succession of great musicians, from Jelly Roll Morton through the incredible dynasty of Isidore Toots Washington, Roy Professor Longhair Bird, Fats Domino, and Allen Toussaint. Professor Longhair introduced the rumba to the blues and created an idiosyncratic style. Fats Domino's playing was immediately recognizable, even on someone else's record. His piano certainly helped Lloyd Price's Laudy Miss Claudy become the top R&B record of 1952. As for Allen Toussaint, he synthesized both Longhair and Domino on records that laid the foundations for funk. Piano played less of a role in country music, although Bob Wills' Western Swing Band made good use of it, as did some honky-tonk performers of the early 50s. This, in turn, led to the emergence of one of the original rock and roll madmen, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Mm-hmm. shaking going on.
Something about the piano encouraged insanity. Little Richard, for instance, could hardly be called sedate. On balance, though, one very influential piano player was New York's Raul J. Sita, whose piano triplets could be heard on lots of vocal group records, even the ones he didn't play on.
Devil or angel, I can't make up my mind. Which one you are, I'd like to wake up and ride.
The Beatles and the British Invasion finished the piano for a while, and when it reemerged, it was at the hands of such borderline easy listening artists as Elton John or old timers like Leon Russell, who adapted their style to the new music. Meanwhile, the organ had come back after many years of being in disfavor, played by masters like Motown's Earl Van Dyke and Stax Booker T. Jones. Robert Moog's synthesizer also gave keyboardists something new to do, and by the end of the 70s, there were bands like Depeche Mode in Britain, who played nothing but synthesizers. Somehow, it all came full circle when synth manufacturers started knocking themselves out to find the chip that would most clearly imitate the piano. Today, keyboards, often linked to computers, are omnipresent in popular music. The days of the barrel house are long gone, but it's nice to see that for thousands of musicians, those childhood piano lessons can still be applied to rock and roll.
Ed Ward is a writer living in Berlin. Tomorrow he concludes his series with the saxophone. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.